We're 15 days away from the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 9th and Saturday, June 10th in Collinsville, Illinois. Register today at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. You saw the Time Magazine cover story. It didn't have any words related to the cover story itself, but the cover was the familiar picture of the White House kind of on one side. And on the other side, it is slowly morphing into, well, when I first saw it, I thought, quite honestly, that it was the Kremlin. It looked Russian. I saw those onion domes, the bright colors, the red brick, and I thought to myself, that looks like something Russian. It's probably the Kremlin. I think I even said on the air that the Time Magazine cover story showed the White House morphing into the Kremlin. Turns out, isn't the Kremlin. And in terms of, well, geography, it's close, but in terms of what Russia is, it's not. Not close at all. Terry Mattingly joins us to talk about that cover, what it means, what it is intended to mean, and what it says about both the press, about the White House, and about our view of Russia. Terry's a regular guest, senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be here.
First of all, before we get to the picture, what does it mean when Time Magazine or these other news magazines, and it very rarely happens, publish a cover that is not any text, but only a picture?
Well, I will be glad to answer that question, but first I want to not bury the lead here. You fell for it too?
I did.
You thought it was the Kremlin?
Well, I thought, I'd seen it on Twitter, and I thought, that looks Russian, maybe it's the Kremlin, so I just drew the conclusion that apparently the editors at Time drew too.
Well, okay, in other words, it's such a visual cliche.
Absolutely.
That you assumed it.
Yes.
But now, we're going to get way ahead of ourselves here for a second, but let me just point out one very important thing. Which do you think was more likely to be the home of the Soviet state, the big red building with the big red star on top, or a church with crosses on top?
Well,
which do you think would be the center of the Soviet state?
I would think it's going to be the tall, imposing, and rather ugly tower with the big red star on top.
Good for you. Okay, now we're on to something here. We're on to the heart of this whole thing, which, if you want to have fun, I'm going to do a follow-up on this just for this. If you want to have fun, just run like Time, comma, cover, comma, Orthodox, comma, White House, or some combination of those words, and enjoy reading the three pages of satire of this mistake and the three pages of calls for corrections and everything else. Okay, but we'll get into that, but back to your original question. What does it mean when they run a cover that has no headline on it? Simply stated, it means that the editors think this image is so brilliant, so all-inclusive, so overwhelming that they don't even need to hint at what it means. And I have no doubt what they meant with this image. The White House is being taken over by Russia. But when they say that, do you think they mean Russia, the church, or Russia, the totalitarian state represented by Putin?
Without a doubt, they mean Putin.
Then why not have it morph into the Kremlin? I mean, the point is, they've fallen for what I think is one of the biggest problems in the American journalistic mindset right now. Now, Vladimir Putin is representative of a lot of things about the post-Soviet Russian mindset and many things about Russia that you can say that are bad, and a few of them that you could say that are good are represented in the kind of the rise of Putin, good from the Russian perspective. But one thing you would have to say is that Vladimir Putin is not Russia. There is a lot more to understanding Russia than the person Vladimir Putin and his actions. In fact, I would argue that to understand Putin, you have to understand Russia at least as well as he does, in terms of knowing the parts of the Russian mind and the Russian mindset and the Russian view of the world that Putin, from my perspective, is successfully manipulating as a part of his ability to gain power and maintain power. But we have journalists, apparently, who think Putin stands for Russia, if you get my point. And all of this, I mean, for someone who is an Orthodox Christian and who goes to church every Sunday morning with Russians and Romanians, it infuriates them that America doesn't understand that there is more to Russian culture than Vladimir Putin. And they think it's going to make America, lead America into mistake after mistake after mistake in terms of understanding how this man thinks and what he does. So this cover, in a way, is brilliant, but not in the way that they intended. It brilliantly lets us know a lot about how elite, upper Atlantic coast, blue zip code American journalists are thinking about Russia right now. Either that, or it's just a big cliche to them, and it doesn't matter that they're wrong. All they want is the cliche and what it calls to your mind. If that's the case, it's even more tragic.
So it's brilliant in what it reveals about the American press.
At least how they view Russia. I'm going to have trouble putting this into words because there's a lot here that I kind of want to express, and I'm no expert on Russia. But obviously, Putin is. Putin, I have no idea at this point whether there's any sincere religious beliefs in the mind and heart of Vladimir Putin. But Putin understands the degree to which making a statement about Russian nationalism and what the Russians, a phrase the Russians would take very seriously that we don't, which is the phrase Mother Russia, and that their nationality is somehow way more central to their identity as individual people than, for most Americans, America is, believe it or not. I might as well jump ahead, but I want to come back to the cover and some of the errors here. In the Russian mindset, Rod Dreher did a nice post on this a day or two ago. Russians think of themselves as a nationality and as a whole and as a collective and as a common body, a body that you could call Mother Russia, whereas America is essentially about individualism. Something that I said once in one of our podcasts before that people asked me about later, I said that when I was studying church-state relations in America, I realized that it's very important to understand what it means to say, you know, you have the old debate, is America a Christian nation? I think the more important thing to say is that America is not a Christian nation. It's a Protestant nation. And in Protestantism, you have a lot of the doorway leading into kind of make up your own mind about your own beliefs and your own freedoms, and there's a lot positive about that. I'm not putting it down. But for a lot of other people, this individualism has become extremely radicalized to where now there is no reality other than what you think it is. That is so far from the Russian mindset, because Russia, in some sense, is an Orthodox culture, even if the people there don't even really believe Orthodox anymore. They've accepted part of this idea that they are a part of a whole. They are part of a nation, and that there's a Russian mind and a Russian way of life, and that there are Russian strengths that must be defended. And Putin has learned how to push those buttons. Do you get my point?
Yeah.
And that includes, I will be the first to say it, and I've said it many times on the blog, Get Religion. Yes, he manipulates some aspects of Russian Orthodoxy. But it's not as simple as Americans think it is in terms of how the American press covers that interface between the church and Putin. There's a lot more that symbolically goes on. There are things that the church does that represent standing up to Putin that you would never hear about in the American press, or you would never see it interpreted that way. You pick up a typical American newspaper, the Kremlin right now is running the Orthodox Church. And that's not a fair statement of how Russians see what's going on in their country. They, like me, believe that there are some bad things going on in terms of religion in Russia, a crackdown on non-traditional faiths, and they define traditional faiths basically as Orthodoxy, Judaism, Islam, and religions that have been part of the Russian fabric for centuries, as opposed to, tragically, say, Jehovah's Witnesses, which they see as a modernized sect of Christianity and unfair competition for the Orthodox Church, so they crack down on it. I'm a First Amendment absolutist. I don't want to see people doing that. But I can understand how the Russians think that some of the more radicalized forms of Protestantism are attacking their very being and their very state. And to understand Russia, you at least should be able to think your way through that and understand why they're doing what they're doing, even if, like me, you disagree with it. Once again, I'm struggling to put all this into words because these are big, big subjects. But Putin, again, I want to stress, Putin is not Russia. But there are things about Russia that Putin understands that American journalists and American politicians and American diplomats are going to really need to learn to understand if they're going to have a chance to negotiate this guy or live in the same world with him.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about the Time magazine cover on Russia and the Trump White House. Well, if it wasn't the Kremlin in that cover, what was it? We'll find out after this.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The fake news wars that we're experiencing right now are not going to end soon.
Terry Mattingly, on his presentation at this summer's Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference, making the case for news discernment.
We're actually seeing a war to define what is and what isn't news. This whole thing is about the purpose of journalism and whether the classic American model of the press, with its whole emphasis on balance and fairness, is going to survive the internet age. What we'll be talking about is where savvy readers can go to get their news. We're also going to ask, what happens to American public discourse if we all keep on clicking on news sources that only tell us what we want to hear?
You can meet and hear Terry Mattingly June 9th and 10th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call 618-223-8385. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the Time magazine cover on Russia and the Trump White House. Terry Mattingly is our guest, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and of the book Pop Goes Religion. Terry, if it wasn't the Kremlin that the White House was morphing into on the Time magazine cover, what was it?
Well, it's St. Basil Cathedral. Now, there's some question out there about whether St. Basil's Cathedral is actually a cathedral or simply a church. The actual name of this place, according to Orthodox Wiki, which tends to be a pretty reliable site, is the Cathedral of the Protection of Mother of God upon a moat being a body of water. Apparently, there used to be a moat in Red Square. There are so many churches in Russia that the names end up being very specific. But for 99% of the world, it's St. Basil Cathedral. Now, it's scary that if you run a Google search for the word Kremlin and then click images, about half of what comes up is St. Basil's Cathedral. The actual Kremlin isn't in the pictures of the Kremlin that you get when you get a Google search. Now, St. Basil Cathedral is across Red Square from the Kremlin. You will frequently see them in the same shot, and you can take pictures from behind the Kremlin and end up getting where it looks like St. Basil's Cathedral is in the Kremlin. It's not. There are red walls that define the borders of the Kremlin. Now, to further complicate things, there are other churches near the Kremlin, and sometimes from certain angles it looks like they're part of the Kremlin. And, to further complicate things, inside the Kremlin, there are a couple of small Orthodox chapels and buildings which have the signature golden onion domes on top of them, which, by the way, leads us to another interesting error that grew out of this that got a lot of attention online. CNN commented on the Time cover and said that these were the minarets on top of the White House. Now, do you know what a minaret is?
Yes, I do.
Do you think they did? Apparently not. A minaret is the tall prayer towers that occur on top of a mosque. So not only is St. Basil Cathedral not the Kremlin, St. Basil Cathedral is also not a mosque, which I think a lot of journalists, you know, maybe they just thought that was some term for a tall something or another sticking up above a building. Except, don't you think most people understand the word steeple? If you were going to make a mistake here, you would have called these things steeples, because in a way they are. But the Onion Dome evolved on top of Russian churches for a lot of reasons. But one of the reasons was functional, which is that when you live in an area with as much snowfall as they have in Russia, it helps to have a dome shape so that the snow falls off, you know, and doesn't form blocks up there and harm the church. The Kremlin, however, does not have onion domes, to stress that again. So here, CNN, they made another funny mistake, which gave lots of people an opportunity to laugh to keep from crying, just looking at that. But then this brings us to another point. When you think about these Time people and what they're doing, they had to use image manipulation software to take the crosses off the top of the domes, because it would have hurt the obvious, brilliant, symbolic meaning of their cover to have a bunch of crosses sticking up there, right? I mean, right up into the letters Time? Who wants to have crosses in a place like that? It would certainly send a mixed signal, except it would also be accurate. There are crosses on the tops of all Russian churches. So didn't they even stop and think of how symbolic it was that they were taking the crosses off? I mean, wasn't that an opportunity to say, behold, perhaps we are making a mistake? But apparently not. So we got crosses taken off of onion domes, which are called minarets, which are supposedly on top of the Kremlin. This is a lot of fun.
One other, this isn't as much journalist as satirical, almost immediately, Mad Magazine, which I was surprised to.
Yeah.
I was almost as surprised to discover that Mad Magazine was still publishing as I was that Time was still publishing.
That's a good point.
But Mad Magazine called foul saying, hey, you stole our idea, a cover that they had produced before making a similar error.
Yeah, and the Washington Post did a brilliant summary of all that with this long, long, long post showing how much of a cliche this image has become, that not only Mad has done it, it showed, you know, cartoon after cartoon that had used this same image, which is St. Basil's on top of the White House. I mean, so does everybody think that's the Kremlin? Oh, by the way, CNN did run a correction, and the correction is hilarious in and of itself. I don't think they want to quite admit the nature of their error. The correction says, this story has been updated to accurately describe Russian architecture.
What does that mean?
Well, I don't know, but it means that there's a difference between a church and the Kremlin. That's an architectural difference. I don't think they wanted to admit, this story has been updated to more accurately describe the fact that there are steeples and crosses on top of churches and minarets are found on top of mosques, which are a part of the great world religion of Islam. I think that would make them feel a little dumber. This story has been updated to more accurately describe Russian architecture. Folks, there are lots of mosques in Russia, and they have minarets on top of them, but they're not shaped like onion domes, and they don't have crosses on top. Crosses that have been removed, I'll give them that.
Okay.
This just goes on and on.
Were this reversed, not that it would, but were it reversed, and were a Russian newspaper or news magazine to feature a cover of the Kremlin, or let's say, let's see if we can find something, the Kremlin turning into what they would intend to be the White House, but they accidentally chose a picture of the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C.
and had the Capitol.
Yeah, or yes, and had that morphing.
Or Mall of America, you know, buildings have symbolism. I get the point of that. What I don't understand is why having the White House evolve into a red building with ugly red tall towers on top with big red stars on top. What I don't get is why it wouldn't have been more symbolic to have it turn into the Kremlin in the first place. Do they really think Americans don't know? Well, I assume most of the readers of Time magazine now are fairly old, like me. They might recognize what a big red star means on top of ugly red buildings. And you'd still have it turning red, and it would still look kind of Russian. I honestly think at this point we have to assume they didn't know they made this error, which is just amazing to me. I mean, if you know anything about Russia, you know that that is an image of St. Basil's Cathedral. I mean, has anybody at Time ever been to Red Square? This whole thing kind of boggles the mind to me.
We're talking with Terry Mattingly of Get Religion about the Time magazine cover story on Russia and the Trump White House. You can meet and hear Terry Mattingly making the case for news discernment at the 2017 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 9th and 10th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $120 and includes three meals. Childcare is $40 and includes the meal plan as well. You can register by check, and you'll find a registration form at issuesetc.org. Fill it out and send it with your payment to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234, or register online at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 9th and 10th in Collinsville, Illinois. We'll be right back.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Cradled in historic Perry County, Missouri, the manger of the Missouri Synod, Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 453 Northwest Street in Perryville proclaims God's Word and celebrates His Supper on Saturdays at 5:30 and Sundays at 7:30 and 10 using the church's liturgy contained in Lutheran Service Book, enriched with ancient and modern hymns. For more information, call 573-547-8317 or visit www.emmanuel-perryville.org.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans in their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Terry Mattingly of Get Religion about the Time magazine cover on Russia and the Trump White House on this Thursday, May the 25th. When our conversation with Terry concludes, our series Christ in the Old Testament continues. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will join us to talk about the Ascension Psalm, Psalm 68. It's not just a psalm that sounds like the Ascension. It certainly does. It's actually quoted in the New Testament in connection to Christ's Ascension and some deep insight into what the Ascension of our Lord is really all about. We'll talk about all of that in a few minutes here on Issues Etc. Terry, what is the cover of Time magazine, this cover with the White House morphing into what they thought was the Kremlin, turns out to be St. Basil's Cathedral. What does the cover say about the media's obsession? I think I could date it back to about January 20th of this year, but the media's obsession with Russia.
No, I think you've got, let me correct you here, gently correct you. Maybe I'm more sensitive to this again because I'm Orthodox and because I hang out with Russians. The Russians would say that the media mindset toward Russia changed markedly with the rising number of stories about Putin and about Putin's crackdowns on groups that are official victim groups in America, which would be punk rockers with names you shouldn't say on family radio, the gay rights movement, et cetera, et cetera. In other words, Putin is attacking symbols of the West. And the free press would certainly be one of those and one of the ones I value the most. But Putin knows that right now a lot of people in Eastern Europe and in Russia look at the West and don't like what they see. They don't like what they see in European culture right now. And the fact that you have, just to name one example of how a lot of this got stirred up, the fact that you have one half of the nation of Ukraine that is deeply Russian in culture, and the other half of it that leans much more toward Europe and toward the style and the content of modern Europe, that's the whole thing in one symbolic face-off, the battle for Ukraine. Is once again between this Russian mindset and this radically individualized, modernized, oh gosh, so much. Just something that just leapt to mind, so let me stumble around just for a second. Do you have any memories of the opening ceremonies for the Olympics in London?
Not consciously, no.
Oh, they were wild. And basically, they wanted to sum up everything you ever wanted to know about modern England in all of its diversity and bizarreness. And, I mean, you know, they did a tribute to British literature and with like one teeny tiny allusion to Tolkien, and they didn't even mention C.S. Lewis. But you can imagine what Harry Potter got. Okay? So they were, it was modern England in all of its multi-cult, flashy, edgy, to some people even revolting glory. Then if you look at the ceremony opening the Winter Olympics in Russia, you get exactly the opposite. You get something that was almost classical in a lot of its forms. It was pretty blunt in terms of the good and the bad in the history of Russia, but it made this very dramatic, symbolic, serious representation of Russia. And I thought, there's Ukraine right there in those two pairs of images. One, this is what Europe thinks it is, and it wants to hold up to the world as the glories of Europe. Now, a lot of those things are things that I value, but at the same time, don't you worry sometimes about whether our society is coming a little bit off the rails in terms of its worship of modern individualism and radical individualism and kind of do your own thing life? Whereas Russia, once again, was presenting how it views itself. We are a nation. We are a nation and a culture with a lot of good in its history and a lot of bad in its history. Here it is. We're going to show it with classical music and ballet and folk music and folk dancing. This is Russia, Russian culture. Putin knows what to defend culturally and what to oppose to push those buttons for his people. I can't stress this again. Putin is a Russian, but Putin is not Russia. And I think that that's the big struggle behind a lot of our media coverage right now of every Russian issue that seems to come up. Are you shocked that America acts in its own self-interest, often in ways that maybe cannot be totally ethically justified? I'm not. Nation states do that. Are you shocked that Russia is going to do big, powerful, even ugly things to protect territory under which most of its gas and oil lines run? No, they're acting in their national interest. Well, somebody in newsrooms and someone in the State Department, these people, we've got to be doing a better job of figuring out what the Russians think of themselves and what they think of their national interests. And all of that got stirred up for me with this very silly, stupid mistake on the front of Time, that Time symbolized as brilliant by this epic, they thought, image that didn't even need a headline to explain what it means, except it doesn't mean what it means.
I guess I want you to act as interpreter. Look again at that Time magazine cover, and with your best kind of journalistic eye, you tell us what Time magazine intended to say. They didn't put any words on the cover. They just had the picture. We know that they thought they were being brilliant about it, but what were they intending to say about the U.S. government, or in particular about the Trump administration? What were they trying to say?
Trump is as bad as Putin, and Putin is taking over Trump, and the Russians are coming, the Russians are coming. Except, as one website put it, they really didn't mean to say the Russian Christians are coming, the Russian Christians are coming, which in the grammar of visual images is what they said, especially if they had been honest enough and had the integrity to leave the crosses on top of the onion domes.
Okay, I've got one more question in that line, Terry, because you and I are old enough to remember when the Russians are coming didn't just mean some sort of vague boogeyman named Putin. It meant communism. It meant atheism. It meant nuclear war. It meant a lot of things. That's within our lifetimes, well within our lifetimes. Russia's no longer communist. It's a presidential republic of some sort. I can't figure that one out. It is certainly no longer officially atheistic, although Putin may himself be an atheist, who nobody knows. I think he's a religious man, perhaps. What's the boogeyman in Russia in the mind of the press right now, if not all those things from the Cold War era?
Backward, anti-modern, anti-individualism, anti-gay, anti-art, which is a wild thing to say about a nation that has produced so much great art. Anti-modern art. Okay, we'll do that. The religious right with nukes? Is that too blunt? I mean, everything that we think bad about religious traditionalists in our own land to some degree is now being projected on Russia, except it's corrupt, which, by the way, a lot of it is. It's dangerous, to which it especially is from America's perspective. And it's being run by a man that it's really comforting to think of him as some sort of madman who doesn't have any logic to what he's doing. And all of that's just the mystery of Russia. And it's a new kind of scary. The American left, like Russia, a whole lot more when it was Marxist and communist than the American left likes Russia now, that it thinks of itself as projecting, we're one of the last nations on earth that wants to stand up and defend old-fashioned values of nationalism, family, etc. Which, of course, Russia does in a very inconsistent manner. But they are trying, the church in particular is trying to make statements about family and marriage and the future of their nation and the future of faith in that nation. We may not like everything that they're saying, but it just doesn't help to turn it into a cartoon, let alone an inaccurate one.
Terry Mattingly, a senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, thanks.
Glad to be here.
When we come back, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer joins us. Our series, Christ in the Old Testament, continues. On this Ascension Day, we'll turn to the Ascension Psalm, Psalm 68. Stay tuned.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
When a Christian woman is critical of her own flesh, she holds her Creator in contempt.
Rose Adel from her new book, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Our Heavenly Father knit us together in the womb. He did not do a bad job. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14. That goes for everyone, including the one who thinks she's the ugliest of them all.
You can purchase and download Concordia Publishing House's new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically, at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office. 314-416-8117.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glories of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth.
At Adventist Lutheran Church in Zionsville, Indiana, God's Word and Sacraments work to forgive sinners through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We invite you to join the rich heritage of traditional liturgy in our Sunday morning worship.
You can find us online at adventlutheran.org.